Sister Cheryl. Brother Caleb, would you pray for us, please?
Lord, we thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us come and worship you. Lord, that's the way we know how, Lord. But you, one day we'll get it all out. One day we'll be able to tell you how we really feel about it, Lord. Now we're just flesh and bone. We're going to do our best to worship you today, Lord. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. You amaze me. All you've done and all you continue to do, Lord. You're in control and you got it all from us, Lord. Help us this morning. Help us that we have a clear mind and that our hearts will be changed to be more like you, Lord. Help us to teach you more, Lord. We're trying to teach us what's right, Lord. Help us listen to your word, God. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these schedules. And everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free one cold night in January. Don't forget what Brother Melvin said. He said he got more out of reading the Bible than he did listening to people try to explain it. Now, we've been in the book of Genesis for a while, and the first book of Genesis is 11 chapters worth, and every word in it is true. Yeah. It covers a period of 2,000 years, tells us about creation, corruption, condemnation, and confusion. Then we moved over to chapter 12, the second book of Genesis, Genesis 2, and I'll go ahead and tell you before we get through it, every word in it is true. Yeah. And we've been looking at the patriarchs. There's four of them. We looked at Abraham, and we're kind of hung up here on Isaac. Genesis chapter 27. We saw him in 22 as a submissive son on Abraham's Calvary up on the mountain. Then the gentle groom in the field waiting on Rebekah, waiting on his bride over there in 24. And then in 25, Rebekah is barren, and him and Rebekah pray, and they get twins. Still happening today. Yeah. Still happens today. And then he's a copycat, repeats his daddy's sins, generational sins in chapter 26. But he's got his ups and downs just like us. And he's also a willing worker in 26, redigging the wells, the doctrines that every generation must redig for their own. And now we're in chapter 27. And he's a frustrated father at the supper table. That's what he is. Let's look at it. We quit in 21. Dear Lord, again, we ask you for help. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Genesis 27, 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee. Now, he thought that might happen up in verse 12. He said, the mother perceived a plan where they're going to trick the father into blessing the son. The son's trying to carry out the plan. He tells mom in 12, he said, the father's going to feel me and I'll seem like a deceiver to him. Wonder why he would seem like a deceiver. The whole family's messed up there. They just deceive each other back and forth all the time. And maybe not all the time. We're in 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Up in 19, he asked him, and Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau. That's pretty rough right there. That's not a fib. That's not a white lie. It's blatant. That's out and out. Yeah. He said, I'm Esau. He wasn't. He was Jacob. He's a liar. Just like us. He's just like us. Yeah. Whether thou be my very son Esau or not. 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Let me read it one more time. We don't want to miss this valuable lesson. There's a lot of lessons in chapter 3. There's a lot of lessons in Jacob's life. But right here it says, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Now, Isaac trusted his feelings instead of the word, Amen. And he got tricked.
Amen.
And that'll happen to Brother Rick.
Amen.
every time. Now, we got feelings. The Lord gave them to us, but we can't trust them. We learned last week, actually, the word faith is in the Bible, or synonyms, faith, believe, trust, rely on, is in the Bible 1,006 times. Feelings, 14 times. That means faith is 72 times more important than feelings.
Yes.
And feel is 1.4% as much as faith. I need to rely on this. I don't know. Let me say it again. I don't know. I got to trust it. I get to trust this. Because I don't know. I don't know. Let's look at some verses about that. Romans 1, 16. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth." Not everyone, everyone that believeth. Everyone's not saved. The ones that are saved is the ones that believe. That's another word for faith. We're talking about faith and feeling. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith believeth. Faith believeth in 16. Faith in 17. The just are those that's been justified. That's been saved. We're saved by faith and we live by faith. I trusted Christ to save me, but I don't quit trusting Him on that day. I trust Him the next day for gas money and the next day for rent money, the next day for groceries. We're supposed to live by faith. You've been justified by faith. That was really easy to trust Him. I didn't have to do anything. And the just shall live by faith. Let's check it out in Galatians 3:11. The old timers called it living by faith. Do the same thing every day. Some think it's boring, but actually Christopher Columbus wrote in his journal, many days he wrote, sail on, sailed on. We sailed on. You don't discover America every day. He sailed on a lot of days. Galatians 3:11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, you can go by the law if you want to. It's America. You do it however you want to. And we'll go by faith because I know Jesus did it right. And we'll trust what He did. We'll trust what God provided. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10. Yeah. 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. Yeah. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. Faith, believe, unto the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith. Let's look at it in Habakkuk. Oh, you'll never find that. That's hard. You find it, Brother Tim? Okay, Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. The others said the just shall live by faith. Here it says the just shall live by his faith. I like it a lot better like that because many times I have lapses. I have lapses of faith. Many times my faith is a grain of mustard seed. That's enough though if it's in the right object. The main thing's what's the right object if you've got your faith in the Lord. Let's check it out in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We're talking about his faith. His faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." Hey, it really is His faith. And He gives it to us. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I like it when it's all Him. Let's go back to Genesis now. The just shall live by faith. He said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he trusted his feelings instead of the word, and he got tricked. he did not discern in verse 23. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy, like a goat, like goat skin, as his brothers Esau's hands, and so he blessed him. Then in 24, we see these blessings, 24 to 29. Let's look at those for a minute. So he gets the prayer. Jacob tricks him. Isaac's going to bless him. Here he goes. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near." It's the goat's meat that he thinks is venison. It is. "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." Now, in the Greek, that means Esau smelled like a goat. He had all those goat skins duct taped on him. "Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Now that's a pretty good prayer, a pretty good blessing. But here's God. Here's what God wants to give Jacob, and is going to. Let's turn over one chapter here in verse 13. Chapter 28, verse 13. Isaac's blessing's all right. It doesn't quite measure up to what the Lord wants. In 13 it says, "Behold, the Lord..." We'll get back to that in a little bit. "Stood above it." It's Jacob's ladder. We'll find out a little later in verse 12. "And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." That's what they're fighting over right now. And God said, "I'm going to give you the land." Isaac didn't pray that. "And to thy seed... and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth." Now this time he doesn't mention the stars of heaven. But nevertheless, it's big. "And of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." 15, "And behold, I am with thee." That's a pretty good deal. Isaac didn't go that far. Isaac couldn't do that. Isaac couldn't promise that. When God gets ready to bless Jacob, he blesses him. He said, "I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Well, see, we've got that. We've got the presence of God. They didn't have that in the Old Testament, but God tells him right there that he's going to give it to him. That's the Lord's blessing. Now, we passed over kind of quick there, but in verse 26, "And his father Isaac said to him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him." That was a kiss to deceive. Isaac was suspicious. He done asked him two times, "Are you Esau? Are you my firstborn?" And he lied to him and said yes. And he was suspicious, but he was used to this. They kept tricking him. Now, here's a kiss to murder, 2 Samuel. That was a kiss to deceive. Here's a kiss to murder, 2 Samuel 20. Verse 9 and 10, "And Joab said to Amasa, Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. Matthew 26 is a kiss to betray. Twenty-six, 49. talking about Judas up in 48 and said, now he that betrayed him, 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Well, be careful. Let's go back to Genesis 27 now, verse 30. We see the perplexity of it all. And it came to pass as soon as... Boy, it was close. It was close. As soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat and brought it in unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father rise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said to him, Who art thou? He said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Who? Isaac fully realized that he'd been fighting against God. Scared him to death. Let's read it one more time. It's back in 25:23. And the Lord said, then at the end of 23 it says, And the elder shall serve the younger. Isaac realized he'd been fighting against the will of God all this time. God was only securing what He had declared before the sons were born. And personally, I think Isaac repents right here. I know he does to some degree. Now, I don't know if it's 100%. But then let's go on and finish the verse. But anyway, Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all? He cleaned it up. Before thou camest and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. Look here, don't miss this. Isaac believed in prayer. Even if it was his own prayer. You know, a lot of times I have more faith in your prayer than I do mine. But Isaac believed. He said it's a done deal. He said, I already blessed him. He said he's going to be blessed. I done prayed and asked the Father about it. It's a done deal. That's the way Brother Rick ought to be. Let's look at it in Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. We'll see here in a little bit. And then in chapter 12, 16 and 17... Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully and with tears. Now back to Genesis 27. Let's look at it in starting in verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Isaac said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? Supplanter, for he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all thy brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now? Unto thee, my son. See, he believed what he prayed. He believed what he prayed. In 37, he said, Behold, I have made him thy Lord. Let's look at that in 2 Samuel 8. It happened just like he prayed. Second Samuel 8, 14 and 15. And he put garrisons in Edom. Edom is the descendants of Esau, and Edom is Esau. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice on all his people. Then the prophecy back in Genesis 27, 39 and 40. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, he's getting ready to bless him now, and here's the blessing he's got left. He said, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. He said, You're going to live outside. You're going to be camped out, living in a tent the rest of your life. And verse 40, And by the sword shalt thou live. He said, Not only that, you're going to fight the rest of your life. That's the blessing he had left. And shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. He said, You will get out from under it. Let's look at it in 2 Chronicles 21:8. He said, But I really don't have a whole lot to give you. You done messed up. It was too late. He cried an exceeding bitter cry. It was too late. Too late. 2 Chronicles. Brother Tom's trying to tell us this morning. It's too late. It might be too late any minute. 2 Chronicles 21:8. Here's where he breaks the yoke off. And in his days, the Edomites revolted from underneath the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. So it happens just like Isaac prayed, just like the Lord said. Here's the prejudice. In verse 41, Genesis 27, And Esau hated Jacob. Now these are brothers. The title's prejudice. Prejudice is hate, but it's not just hate. It's predetermined hate.
Right.
It's ahead of time. It's like if I determined that I was going to hate Brother Teddy before he even got here this morning. Done made up my mind. Doesn't matter what he did. It's already in progress right here. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then will I slay my brother Jacob. See, that's why the Old Testament says, Thou shalt not kill. But the New Testament says, If I hate my brother in my heart, I've committed murder already, because if I had a chance, I'd do it. And that's what Esau's saying right here. And don't forget, this slay, he's going to have to hunt him down. He said he's going to hunt him down. I'll hunt him down and kill him, graveyard dead. Remember, we studied that word hunt, how it had a bad connotation. Right here it is again. It's a manhunt. It's a manhunt is what it is. And down at the end of 42, he says again, to kill thee, to hunt him down. He hated him. Well, it didn't start just right here. It did. This hate did not happen overnight. Let's look back in verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake unto Esau, his son. And verse 6, And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son. Back then's when it started. This didn't happen just overnight. Treat them all the same, Brother Caleb. Treat them all the same. Let's go back to 27:42 here. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Well, I wonder why. Wonder what caused that. What brought that on, you reckon? Verse 43, Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Well, that's what got them all in this mess anyway, was obeying her voice. And arise and flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. Well, that few days is going to end up being 20 years. This is when man or woman in this case gets to guiding things. They'll never see each other again. this few days. Only obey my voice. She done said that in verse 8. She said it again in verse 13. And now she's saying it again. 44. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury be turned away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget. How many believe he's going to forget?
Yeah.
He'll never forget. He never going to forget. Until he forget that which thou hast done to him. Yeah, it's like, come on back, come on back, come on back. Whoa, you did it now. Oh boy, you backed over now. What are you going to do now? Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done unto him. Then I, the big I, then I will send and fetch thee. In control, buddy, in control. I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived of you both in one day? Wait a minute. I thought that Esau was going to kill Jacob. How would she be deprived of both of them? Was she planning on murdering Esau? If Esau kills Jacob, is she going to kill him? That's the only way she's going to be deprived of both of them in one day. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary. Here we go. Now she's going to control Isaac. I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? The words of Rebekah. Mom helped save Jacob's life. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. Isaac is the indulgent father and husband. Isaac blesses Jacob and sends him away. Isaac has little control over Esau. Esau married two heathen wives. We'll see here in a little bit another one. Fornicators, what the New Testament said. Isaac had little control over his wife. She felt free to deceive him at will. Isaac had little control over Jacob. He looked to his mother as the authority. Nevertheless, Isaac's a man of faith sometimes. On Mount Calvary, chapter 22, he submitted to the Father. And he's doing better than me. I didn't get my name in the Bible. Him and Rebekah prayed when she was barren. They got twins. And he redug the wells.
Right.
Isaac, a great man in his own right. In his own right. And Jacob's right in wanting the blessing. But he's wrong how he tries to get it. David was right in wanting the ark in Jerusalem. But he went about it wrong, putting it on the ox cart. And Moses was right on wanting to help the Jew, but he went at it wrong when he killed an Egyptian to do it.
Right.
And Old Testament Saul was right to consult God before going to battle, but he was wrong when he consulted a witch.
Yeah.
You know, we're up and down, back and forth. You can't do wrong to get a chance to do right.
Right. That is right.
It's foolish to try to fight against God.
Right.
Isaac been fighting against God. He wanted Esau first. God wanted Jacob to be firstborn. Jacob found acceptance behind the father's firstborn clothes. Look back in 27:15. When they're getting ready to pull the trick, she has the plot. Rebekah took goodly raiment out of her eldest son's Esau's closet, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. It wasn't just goat skin. She put Esau's robe on. And Jacob got to the father hiding behind the eldest brother's clothing. And me and you can do the same thing. Jesus is our elder brother, and we need His coat of righteousness. I'll tell you, the best thing I ever did do is take off the old coat and put on the new. I love hiding behind the elder brother's garments. Let's start 28. Here's the parting blessing They get a lot of things right here. Like I said, I think Isaac repented, at least somewhat, 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. That's what the Lord wanted back in 25, remember? And charged him, said to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. He remembered what Abraham did. He's repeating the virtue now instead of the vice. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, thy Bethulah, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the mother, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. So I think Isaac gets it right here. Prays the right blessing on him now. And then here's how Esau perceived it. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. That's a good start. Hey, Jacob might have repented. It's a good start. You go to obeying your father and your mother, you're doing pretty good. Right there. Yeah, amen. And was gone to Padan Aram, and Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. He knew it, he heard it, and then he saw it. And then verse 9, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him wives, which he had. Now see, he already had two wives. Hold your finger right there. He's going to take this unto the wives that he had. Look at 26:34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. And then he learns again not to do it, and this is out and out rebellion. He marries the third wife. He marries the third wrong wife, knowing that that's what he should not do. And then, and it says in verse 9 again, chapter 28, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had. See, he already had two. And he took unto those Mahalah, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his wife. Well, let me ask you, what if Abraham hadn't went down to Egypt? And what if there was no Hagar? And what if there was none of these children? Then he couldn't have messed up, could he? We continually mess up. Well, the rest of the chapter is the traveler. And also, in the first part, it's going to be Jacob's vision. Verse 10, we see the first part of it. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He left his father's house. He went approximately 40 miles, near as I can figure, that first day, running from Esau. The Lord came farther than that on his first missionary journey. He came all the way from heaven to here to save us. Jacob's just getting a little jump start here. And then he's going to see the angels of God in verse 11 and 12. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Well, no wonder he dreamed. They say you dream when you're half awake, half asleep. If you got rocks for pillows, I think you're going to be dreaming. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. That's where the Sunday school song came from. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And right here it is. You only find this phrase one other place, and it's in the New Testament, and it's in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 51. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Old Testament said the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. The it, in case you're wondering what the it is, the New Testament says the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is the ladder from earth to heaven. There is no other. It's Jesus only. Jesus only. And then in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Now that's the Father. That's Jehovah right there. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You got the Father standing above it. Jacob's ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. The only way to the Father, Brother Tom already told us this morning, the only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And the Lord, the Father, stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Brother Tom said we need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for Israel. Not just because Brother Tom said it. We need to pray for Israel. We need to stay on Israel's side.
Yes,
and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee. That same promise is to us New Testament believers. He gets it a little extra right here. Until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee of. God promised His presence to Moses and the children in Deuteronomy, to Joshua in chapter 1 verse 5, to Solomon in 1 Chronicles, to the disciples in Matthew 28. Let's look at that. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. God promises His presence to the disciples. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen and amen. And let's look in Hebrews 13. Again, it's to us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, Brother Rick. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about an amen right there? Let me read it again. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay, that's pretty good. Let's try it one more time, everybody together. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a pretty good deal we got in on. I'm a horse trader. I always lose. But this is one time I didn't lose when I took off the old coat and put on the new. That's verse 15. That's the most thrilling promise of all, that God won't leave. What else would I want? When you get Him, you get everything. Oh, Jesus is to me my everything. Verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Then Jacob's vow, 17. I think we can finish the chapter if you'll hang with me here just a minute. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful, how wonderful is this place. John fell down dead when he saw the Lord. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Luz means separation. And when Jacob left all he knew behind, then he went to, Bethel means the house of God. Then he went to the house of God and God met with him then. And verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me. Now I used to, he's getting ready to promise God something here. And I used to say, well, no wonder if, Jacob said if, but I don't think it's like that. I think it's like the other day when we got the phone call that the seniors were having a dinner uptown here, and I was getting my stuff ready to fix me a peanut butter sandwich, and I said, well, if they're eating over town, I'm just going to go over there. Or I might say, well, since they're eating over town, I'm just going to put my stuff up and go over there. I think he meant it like we use sense. You don't have to believe that. And Jacob vowed, don't change the Bible, but many times, and even in the Bible, many times, if and since are the same. Used the same. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, well, since God's going to be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, well, then shall God be, the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob vows a vow and promises to God that he'd worship him as long as he lived, and tithing in the Old Testament. See, man says, serve God in order to become a son. But God says, first become my son, and then you'll be able to serve me for the right reason. Man would place sonship at the end of a long life of service, but God puts it at the beginning. Got to be a son first. Got to be a son first. Jacob entered God's family at Bethel before serving. He gets his name changed in chapter 28 to Israel. That might be when he gets saved. Probably is what I'm going to say. And Jacob's a picture of the New Testament Bible believer with two natures. Brother Rick, up and down, back and forth, in and out, backaches, headaches. He uses us who have nothing and deserve nothing but judgment and gives us everything. Just an ordinary small town someone. An ordinary small town no one, Brother John, is Jacob. And Brother Rick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.